بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We resume the explanation of the hadiths in the collection of Imam al-Nawawi, famous for 40 Nawawi hadiths, and we have reached hadith number 18. And this is on the authority of Abi Dharr, Jundub bin Junada, and Abi Abdul Rahman, Mu'ad ibn Jabal. May Allah be pleased with them. On the authority of Abu Dharr, Jundub bin Junada, and Mu'ad bin Jabal, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Fear Allah wherever you are and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will wipe it out, and behave well towards people. At-Tirmidhi reported this, and he said it is hasan, it is good, and in some versions and copies it was mentioned that he said it was good and sound hadith. The explanation. Ittaqillah, what does it mean? Ittaqillah, fear Allah. It means to take a protection from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. How? By executing His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions. This is the meaning of ittaqillah, fear Allah. Wherever you may be, whether openly or secretly, at home or in the market, and whether you have company or not. The meaning is, إذا فعلت سيئة, if you do a bad deed, then follow it with a good one. So this حسنة, this good deed, will wipe the bad deed. The ulama, may Allah be pleased, may Allah's mercy be upon all of them, the scholars, differed as to the meaning here, what is intended in terms of the good one, the good deed. Is it a tawbah? Is it repentance? So it would mean like if you do a bad deed, then go ahead and repent? Or is it general? The correct opinion is that it is general, meaning the good deed wipes out the bad deed, even though it is not a tawbah, even though it is not a sin, a repentance. What is the evidence for this? The evidence is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 114. قال الله تعالى وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And perform a salah at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night. Verily the good deeds remove the evil deeds. That's a reminder and advice for the mindful, those who accept advice. At one time, a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that he kissed a woman unlawfully. He kissed a woman unlawfully. And when he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he already prayed Salat al-Fajr with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained, did you pray Salat al-Fajr with us? He said yes. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed him this verse. He recited this verse, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And perform Salah at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night. Verily the good deeds remove the evil deeds. So this man said, is this for me particularly? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for all, meaning for all of those of my followers who may encounter a similar thing. So here, this is evident that the good deed, in this case the salah, wipes out the bad deed, although it is not a tawbah, although it is not a repentance. So here the Prophet ﷺ told us of the result. The result is that the good deed will wipe out the bad deed. Then he told him, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and treat people and behave towards them in good way, in a good manner, in a good behavior. And this behavior is an inward description in man. And the meaning is, treat them in good ways by saying and by action. And what is the good? What is the good behavior? Some of them defined it as follows. Al-khuluq al-hasan, the good behavior, the good manner. Kaffu al-atha, restraining from causing harm or inflicting harm upon people. Wabadhlu al-nada, and being generous. Wasabru ala al-adha, patiently persevering and forbearing the harm that may be inflicted upon you. And walwajhu al-taliq, and a cheerful face. This is how some of the scholars defined it. All of this, the guide for all of this, is mentioned in the Quran, in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 199, chapter 7, verse 199. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. All of this is illustrated in this statement. Show forgiveness, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the foolish. Is the good behavior or good manner something ingrained, natural, or is it acquired? The answer, some of it is ingrained, natural, and some may occur through acquirement. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told Al-Ashaj عبد القيس, told him, إن فيك لخلقين يحبهما الله الحلم والأنا. قال يا رسول الله أخلقين تخلقت بهما أم جبلني الله عليهما؟ قال بل جبلك الله عليهما. قال الحمد لله الذي جبلني على ما يحب. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told Al-Ashaj عبد القيس, he told him, you possess two qualities which are loved by Allah. Insight and deliberateness. He asked the Messenger of Allah, are they acquired? Did I acquire them, or Allah created me on them? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah created you upon them. So he said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who created me on something which he loves. So here it could be natural, due to Allah's favor on the person, and also it could be through attainment, through acquirement, meaning the person trains himself on the good and noble characters so that he becomes as such. And this noble character really brings peace of mind and comfort and removes worries, because he is confident concerning treating others. The benefits of this hadith. Number one, the obligation to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever a person may be, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqillah, fear Allah wherever you may be. And that means, do what Allah commands you and abstain from what Allah called you to abstain from, whether openly or secretly. Now the question is, the manifestation or the taqwa, should it be open or in secrecy? In this there is tafsil, there is details. If you manifest the taqwa, if your manifestation of it leads people to take example in you and follow that which you are upon, so in this case, making it manifested, open, is better. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who spend in charity openly and secretly. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith which is reported by Muslim, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة. He who sets a good precedent in Islam, of course this has to have foundation in Sharia, there is a reward for him for his act or for this act, and reward of that also who acted accordingly to it subsequently without any deduction of their rewards, So, and then if there is no benefit in making this acts of taqwa apparent, then in this case, to do them secretly is better. Because of the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam concerning those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade on the day of resurrection, one of them the Prophet ﷺ described to be رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. A man who gives charitable gifts so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. Also, which is better in terms of abandoning sins and disobedience? Should it be made open or secret? This is the same is to be done, the same is to be said as we have said concerning executing the commands. For example, if someone wants to enter in a certain business and someone tells him, well, this may involve some haram like riba, like usury, and so he openly abandons this. This is better because people take example. But if the matter does not have impact on others and don't benefit from, then therefore it is better to keep it secret. Now, here the Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ, fear Allah wherever you may be. Does this include executing the commands in unfitting places, like for example bathrooms? The answer is, don't execute the commands in these places. However, have the intention in your heart that you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining from His prohibitions. Have that in your heart. The second benefit is that the good deeds wipe out the bad deeds. The third benefit, Allah's favor on His slaves. Because if we refer the matter to justice, meaning having the good deed wiping out the bad deed, this is from the mercy and favor of Allah upon us. And if we want it to be as a matter of justice, then the good deed may not stand to wipe out the bad deed from all angles. Now, another benefit. Is it conditional when the person does the good deed? Should he have intention that I am doing this good deed so that it wipes the bad deed done before? The answer, the apparent meaning of the hadith does not indicate so. Rather, the actual doing of the good deeds wipes out the bad deeds. And this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves. And this is entailed by his mercy, that his mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala precedes his anger. The fourth benefit, inciting people to treat others and have in good ways and have a good noble character. If someone says, sometimes if one treats people with firmness and roughness, would this oppose the meaning of the hadith? The answer, no. Because every condition has its own merits. If there is a benefit in being rough, then do it. And if it's the opposite, then be kind and lenient. And if the matter revolves between leniency, kindness, and roughness, then take by leniency and kindness. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all kind. He loves that one should be kind and lenient in all matters. Many occurrences took place indicating the benefits of kindness in the sunnah. A Jew, when he passed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, once he said, As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad. As-sam, instead of as-salam, he said, As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad, meaning death for you, O Muhammad. Because as-sam means death. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with him and her father, said, Alayka as-sam wa al-la'na. Upon you is death and curse. Upon you is the curse and death. So she was equal in recompense and more. The Prophet ﷺ forbade her. And he told her, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all kind. He loves that one should be kind and lenient in all matters. وَإِذَا سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أهل الكتاب فقولوا عليكم. If the people of the book make salam to you, then say, and upon you, وعليكم. And all success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings the end of the explanation of the hadith number 18 in Imam al-Nawawi's collection. May Allah's mercy be upon Imam al-Nawawi, and may Allah's mercy be upon our Shaykh, and may Allah make this a benefit for myself and for all of you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.